I'm going to review a little bit and go into something new all at the same time. The Spirit of the Lord asked, he started dealing with me yesterday, and I've been asked this question a lot since we ventured into the living waters, and we broke into these living waters, and they've radically changed my life. And so what we're learning is how to move into the kingdom of God and access what those things he's given to us. But one of the questions that I'm asked often, it says, is the Holy Spirit the water? Is the water the Holy Spirit? What's the difference between the living water and the Holy Spirit? But the Lord said, now I want you to lay it out the way I've taught you. I'm going to tell you something. I had to actually go a very long path around. I had to go into the right hand of God during all last year when the Lord took us in the right hand of God to understand the operation of the Holy Spirit and now the operation of living water. And I'm going to share that with you. It's a great mystery. And the reason why this is so important, when you're trying to activate the living waters, you need to understand the roles of the Godhead and how they're operating. You have living water and you have the Holy Spirit. And we're going to show you that today. So I know if you've believed that at one time, just put it on a shelf and listen to me today and I'll take you into this mystery. Amen. Now let's go to the first one. Go to John chapter 7. Oh, what a great mystery. Verse 37, it said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, if you're going to go to him and drink, he does not live in the jurisdiction of this world system. So you're going to have to activate your dual citizenship, because when you were born again, you are a new creation. How many of you know that? If you're a new creation in the kingdom of God, you have access to the kingdom of God. Something religion probably won't tell you, but you have access to come to the waters. He's asking you, come to me. If you thirst, come unto me. You got to go to where he is. He doesn't live in this earth's jurisdiction, but you have access. Everyone say access. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, or really the innermost being, the kingdom of God within you, out of the temple of God within you, shall flow rivers of living water. Now in John 4, he talked about placing the well of eternal life within you, and it would spring up for eternity. Here it's saying it's going to flow out of you. Amen. Now, boy, watch this. He says this, verse 39. This is where everybody believes that this actually living water here is the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 39, he says, and this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believeth on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. And that's why we always liken the waters to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you something a little different today. Amen. Before I do, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to jump in it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Some of this I'm going to exhort because I have so much to say and some of it's review. Hebrews 1 and 1, it said, God at sundry times, diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, who hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Look at this. Whom he hath appointed heir, say appointed heir, of all things, appointed heir of all things, whom he made the world, who bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of God. So when he went in and through the cross and was buried into the earth, and he rose again. When he rose again, he arose into the right hand of God, and the Father appointed him heir of all things, gave him all power in heaven and earth. We saw that in Matthew 28, he said, all power in heaven and earth. So he received all power in heaven and earth. Now, let me tell you something. When Jesus ascended in the right hand of God, everything he received, he had before he ever came here. He was already the mighty Logos. He did all this for you and I. Everything he inherited on the behalf of his church. So when he ascended into the right hand of God, he inherited all power in heaven and earth. What else did he inherit? is the Father had life in himself. He gave to the Son to have life in himself. So he inherited the life of the Father. What else did he inherit? In Revelation chapter 5, he said, worthy is the Lamb who has received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. I call that the sevenfold inheritance. He received that for you and I. He received it as the firstborn, the appointed heir of all things. He received the inheritance. He also ascended on high, led captivity captive, and received gifts from him. The Father gave him the apostolic government. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. He gave the gifts. He received all that and he gave gifts unto men. He's the appointed heir of the church. Now, all of these inheritances can be summarized in one word. It pleased the Father that in him, Christ, fullness should dwell. The Father allowed him to receive all things, and all fullness dwells in him, in the right hand of God, situated at the right hand of God, seated in Zion, seated in heavenly places. He is the appointed heir. But guess what? We are appointed joint heirs. Because the Bible says you are joint heirs. Say joint heirs. I'm joined to his inheritance because he received it as the firstborn for me. All right? That's the first part. Why is that important to the Holy Spirit in the water? What does that have to do? Hang on. That only took me about 6 months to figure all that out. I just gave you in 5 minutes, but you know, hey. All right. So in him, all the fullness dwells. Now, John tells us in chapter 1 says, of his fullness, say, of his fullness, of his all fullness, we have received. Or we are receiving the hope of the gospel, the hope of his calling. After he was the appointed heir, the hope of his calling is to transfer everything he inherited from the Father to his church or to his body. That's what he wants. He wants us to receive, walk in, activate, and be filled with everything he inherited on our behalf. He wants us to be filled with his fullness. Say, be filled with his fullness, with the fullness of his inheritance. Because here's the thing. I bless you, he says, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But all those blessings need to be activated here, manifested here, materialized here. It's got to come out of that realm. It's got to come down in here. That's where we get the Holy Ghost. That's what he's in charge of. All right? So, with that in mind, go to John chapter 14. Okay, we see the inheritance of Christ. He received it all. The hope of his calling is for all that fullness to be downloaded, transferred, materialized, and manifested in his body. For us to receive the fullness, have the fullness activated, and have the fullness functioning and operating in our life. How about the fullness of his blessing, the fullness of his favor, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his glory, the fullness of his wisdom? I want some fullness of my life. Can I have an amen? Okay, John chapter 14. Very interesting here. Look at verse 26. Now we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit. This is still review. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You see that? Jesus says the Father will send him in my name. Okay, go to John chapter 16. Now Jesus is speaking. First down 14, he says the Father's going to send him. Okay? Now this is real important you understand this, because once you understand the role of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see how he activates the living water. But if you think he is the living water, you're trying to get him to do something. You're misplacing who he is. All right. John 16, verse 7. Watch this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Come on, tell me the truth. It's expedient for now. This is Jesus talking. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, Jesus said this, I will send him to you. So in 14, he says, the Father's going to send him. In 16, he says, I'm going to send him. And the whole church, Jerry Stitt told me, the whole early church split over this thing. There was a major split over this thing. Over this one doctrine. Yeah, actually, I had to go to the right hand of God to figure this out myself. The Holy Ghost, sometimes you ask him a question. A lot of times you ask God a question, he says, oh, that's a rooftop question. You don't put the roof on till you put the walls on. So sometimes you got a foundation slab and you're asking God to put the roof on a foundation slab. He says, well, hey, wait a minute. I know I'm God, but you're asking a lot here. Let's build a few walls around this where I can put the roof on it and help you understand. A lot of things about the kingdom of God, you got to build some walls around so you can understand the advanced levels of the kingdom of God. But it's not that God doesn't want to teach us. He does. Amen. So go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 32, it says, and Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So he's talking about he ascended into the right hand of God. We just talked about everything he received. Look at verse 33. Because it said, remember in chapter 14, he said the Father sent him. Chapter 16 says Jesus sent him. The fact of the matter is they both sent him. But you'll understand this. Look at verse 33. It's right here. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? Jesus ascended in the right hand of God. Where did the Father send the Holy Ghost? He sent the Holy Spirit to Jesus. Having received of the Father the promise, Jesus received the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's why he said the Father will send him in my name, because the Father sent him to the right hand of God first. Why did he do that? Because from that position, Jesus sends him into the church. Jesus sends him into the earth. Why did the Holy Spirit need to stop by the right hand of God first? Why couldn't the Father just send him on? He had to stop by to receive the inheritance. Because Jesus received the full inheritance for you and I. But now the Holy Spirit had to come into the right hand of God. And Jesus said, this is my inheritance. I ascended to the right hand of God. Now I trust this inheritance to you. And by the way, my fullness, I'm going to put in them in the form of living water. This water will be like no other water. When this water flows, it advances the kingdom of God, and there is no devil that can stand against it. There is no darkness that can stand. When this river flows out of your innermost being, will flow rivers. This spake he, the better way to say this spake he of the operation of the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost that's going to activate those waters. It's the Holy Ghost going to cause those waters to flow. But those living waters are coming out of Christ. He received inheritance. He gave it to the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit into the earth. Okay, now you got that. Go back over to John 16. This is amazing. Now, I'm going to share something with you. In Acts chapter 2, in all of Acts, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled, and Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost, and Paul being filled with the Holy Ghost, and Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost. All of these men that God used were always full. So we got to be full. But I want to show you what they were actually full of. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is come. You know, the devil just would like to keep the operation of the Holy Spirit just far away from the people of God. I mean, you cut off that operation, you're in trouble. He brought the kingdom with him to come and live inside you. He brought the inheritance of Christ. You're born again by the blood of Jesus alone. Blood of Jesus don't need anything extra. It washed your spirit. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, and the baptism, that's why John said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was bringing the inheritance that he inherited. When the Father sent him into the right hand, Jesus gave him his inheritance. Now watch this right here. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of himself. What does that mean? He did not come to represent himself. That's very important, especially since he's filling you with himself and they were full of the Holy Ghost. If he's not coming to represent himself, why is he filling you with himself? But whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak. He will show you things to come. Look at this, verse 14. He shall glorify me. Jesus saying the Holy Ghost did not come to glorify himself, not in this dispensation, although he is God. He is a third person of the Godhead. In this dispensation, he was sent to glorify what I received from the Father. He was sent to show it to you. He was sent not to come and represent himself, but he was sent to represent me in the right hand of God. So what is he filling you with? Look at this. He shall glorify me. Right here is Acts 2, 33. He shall receive of mine and he'll show it to you. Amplify says he will declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. He will receive what is mine. Next verse. All things. Verse 15, that the Father has are mine. I am the appointed heir of the Father. I've received it all. He stopped by the right hand of God. I gave it to him. He was sent with the inheritance. He's received of mine. And now he was sent with the express purpose to declare, disclose, transmit, materialize, and manifest the fullness of that inheritance of his fullness we have received. Do you see that? Do you see it? He said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will show it, disclose it, declare it, transmit it, materialize it, manifest. He was sent to manifest the inheritance. He was sent to manifest the living water. He was sent to materialize, activate the living water to flow. He was sent to represent Christ. So what is he filling you with? Of his fullness. We have received. We've received a kingdom. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And living water. God put the inheritance in the living water. That's why I said to you, if you don't know what's in your water, you'll never draw it out. Says, if you knew the gift of God that was standing before you, John 4, you would have asked him for living water. He said, it'll be a well of water in you, springing up for eternity. All that inheritance he put in the living water. But he sent the Holy Spirit to activate those waters, to materialize a spiritual inheritance. You want to see it in Jesus' first miracle? What does he tell them? He takes six water pots. Number of man, your water pot, he said, fill the water pot with water, then draw it out, and it'll be exchanged into wine. Who's doing the exchange process? The Holy Ghost. Who's the water? Christ, the living waters. You fill up with a fullness. When the Holy Spirit's filling you, my friends, when they were full of the Holy Ghost, they were full of his fullness, or full of the living waters. And when the Holy Spirit drew that water out, he exchanged the properties of living water. He turned it to wine. How about when the virtue flowed out of him and that woman was healed of the issue of blood? See, the water flowed out. The Holy Spirit turned the water into a miracle. The Holy Spirit activates and manifests that inheritance when it releases. He's the one causing the activation of the water, and he's the one causing the transformation of the water and materializing it here in this earth. What a ministry he has. What a mighty God we serve to have the Holy Spirit with us. That's why if you're going to operate and function with the living waters, you're going to have to respect the waters, because they're not going to flow without him. If you start grieving him, you start opening your well and say, I think I'll drink of the world. Oh, God, I want to come drink from you too. Oh, by the way, I want to come drink from the world again. Then I'm going to come drink from you too. The Holy Ghost can say, what am I? You can't be putting muddy water up in your fountain and every day expecting the Holy Ghost to show up. You gotta respect him. Because without him, that water will not flow. There's a lot of grace with that water. And that grace is, that water sent to cleanse you, and the Holy Spirit's there washing you, your body with pure water. He's there activating the waters, washing you. But he's not going to let you do that forever and then go jump into the world and drink of the world's fountain, then come back and drink from this fountain. You can't do that. He'll get grieved. Holy Spirit's a real special and unique person of the Godhead. He is very sensitive. Anybody you know him that way. He can be vexed, he can be grieved, and you have to respect his operation because you've got to have him to activate those waters. Amen? All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to shift another gear. Now, let's look at the water for a moment. Then we're going to put it all together. Let's see what's in the water or who's in the water. I've been saying this to you for the whole month. I said, you can have an eternal well of living water up inside you, but if you don't know what's in the water and you don't have a revelation of the water, you won't do anything with it. When you do, you will sell your life, everything for it. Stuff I've been drinking lately, said, Lord, I had no idea I could drink from this. And all those years, I could so freely drink of the fountain of living water, I'll gladly give everything up for it. Anything that's standing in the way, anything that's polluting it, I lay it down. I have found something so glorious, so wonderful. Oh, so full, so exhilarating, so satisfying. He says, I'm abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. You maketh me to drink of the river of thy pleasure. Somebody came up to me and said, you know, I tried to get in and I couldn't get in. I said, listen. I said, I had to speak to my well for 2 solid weeks to get the fountain to flow. You get a lot of stuff. There's certain things will flow when you have a calling and you have a destiny. There's certain things just going to flow out of you. But you want to, on purpose, come drink this living water. You have got to get that well open. Amen? Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink of the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. I haven't had a rock follow me yet. You know why he followed them? And he said, and that rock was Christ. That young big rock followed them around the wilderness. How could you sit there and murmur against God when a big rock's following you around? You know, you can get used to the supernatural real fast. They got manna out of heaven the first day. It was like glorious. And after about a year of that stuff, manna again. But without it, you die. That rock, you're not going to live very long if it doesn't give its water. The Lord told me something. He said that rock followed them. You know why he followed them? Because he wanted to be in them. That rock that followed them around stepped into you when you were born again. That dispensation, he could not be in them, so he just followed them around everywhere. Where was the Holy Spirit? He was the pillar of fire in the cloud, but the water was Christ. The water, his fullness is in the living water. He is the living water. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. How many of you know who that is? The cornerstone of Christ was laid into Zion, right? He was set into the right hand of God in Zion. He is the rock that followed them around, the chief cornerstone, rock, stone, rock, stone. God put him in the right hand of God. Everyone say booyah. He laid him right up into the right hand of God. Why? Because the water is still flowing out of him. The water was flowing then. It's flowing now. The living waters are flowing from the rock. I'm going to show you something really interesting here. Go to Revelation chapter 22. So he's the rock. The water comes out of him. The fullness is in the water. In Revelation 22:1, he said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. Look at this. Notice the words here. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see this? Proceeding out of the throne of God and proceeding out of the Lamb. The water's coming out of the throne and out of the Lamb because he's seated at the right hand of God. The water flows in. As the Father had life in himself, it flows into him. And then the water, the whole river of living water flows out of his rock. Just like it did in Moses' day, the water come out of the rock. It's flowing out of him. It's flowing out of him. He is the living water. He put it in you. That's how close it is to you. You know, you walk around 40 years with living water in you and never even touch it. Those days are going to change. I plan on giving my life to breaking these wells open. Everybody in the sound of my voice will break that well, teach you how to walk in, teach you how to activate, teach you how the Holy Ghost is going to manifest it and release it. And that well starts flowing, water starts flowing, blessing starts happening. Man, when this well opened, we've started seeing things happen. We're just getting started. Woo, shakaramba. One more scripture there, and I'm going to shift one more gear with you. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. We want to establish the fact that Jesus is the water. The Holy Spirit's the one that's activating the waters. When you get that right, you can get how this works a lot better. So the Holy Spirit's there helping you. You're not trying to get him to flow. He's there helping the water to flow. All right? Jeremiah 2, verse 13 said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, say me, the fountain of living water. Now, let's see who me was. Go to Jeremiah 17 to find out who me was. If I can find out who me was, I can know who the fountain is. If I know who the fountain is, I can step into it. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Oh, Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. They have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. God did the absolute impossible. He put the rock inside you. He put the fountain inside you. He goes, I'm not coming to follow you around anymore. I'm going to come up inside you, and I'm going to put a fountain inside you. It's going to spring forth for all eternity. It will never run dry. Let me tell you something. Since I've been drinking of this awesome, glorious water, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you know the enemy had to create the spirit of pharmakia. That's pharmacy or drugs, addictions. He had to counterfeit this water, because anybody who tastes this water, they'll never really go back. And so what the enemy does is he puts the addiction in place and gets people drinking from worldly addictions to counterfeit the true operation of the living water, because you can freely drink of it. He said, all you are thirsty, come to the fountain. That fountain's so full of living water, I can't hardly drink at midnight anymore. I like to do it because it flows so richly, but I stay up all night long because the impartation of pure life just gets in the cells of my body. It gets in my countenance. It gets in my soul. I'm telling you right now, and this is very unusual for me, I have not, and I promise you this, I have not experienced discouragement once in the last 5 weeks. Not once. I haven't experienced depression once in the last 5 weeks, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've been drinking of the water. Because the water will baptize your emotions in peace, in grace, in glory, and in joy. When you learn to get your emotions and your body up into the water, the world can't come up in that water. Horse and rider are thrown into the sea. I actually believe right now, I've been meditating on that, you know, horse and rider thrown into the sea. I actually believe that that's what Jesus, the imagery he was using when he said, you could say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea. You need to get your mountains in the water. When you cast them in the sea, they don't come out. Amen. Everyone say, booyah! All right. Now I want to go to Genesis 1. This is our last section. First section, he received the inheritance. Second session, he gave it to the Holy Ghost and entrusted it to him. Third session, Christ is a living water. Fourth session, the water and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at them together now. Let me tell you something. Where the Holy Spirit is, he's always with the water. He is always with the water. You want to find him, you're going to have to get in the water. If you can't hear him because you have no water flowing. If he's not operating, your water's stopped up. It's not flowing. Do you want his operation? You're going to have to get around where he is. He's in the water. He said, but I'm in the wilderness. That's beautiful. Because he says, I open to you rivers and high places and fountains in the midst of your valleys. Your wilderness will become a pool of water and your dry land springs of water. You know what he told me? He said, you're going to have to be extra disciplined because you found this fountain in the wilderness. He goes, you're going to have to be extra disciplined because any water that flows in the wilderness is very dry, so it sucks up the water fast. You're going to find you're so thirsty, you're just sucking that water up. He goes, but when I get you in the promised land, it's different. That water will flow much more freely because it comes out of the ground freely because you're not in a wilderness. You're in a promised land, so the water's flowing freely. But most of us are in the wilderness when we find the water, so we have to be extra disciplined, and we got to press into the water because you're in a wilderness. But he makes your wilderness a pool of water. Your dry land springs of water. You've got to get water on your wilderness if you want something to change. Christians are the only people I know that stand in the middle of the wilderness saying, God, where are you? When are you ever going to do something? God said, I can't do anything. You have no water. Look in the world. Somebody say, booyah. Let me tell you something. In the world, you're not going to stand in the field very long if you're a farmer with no water. You can pray all day long. You can plant your crops, plow your ground, stand there and pray fast, get on your knees, cover yourself in ashes and dust and sackcloth. Say, God, when are you going to do anything here? God said, put water in the ground. Got to put water on the ground. No, 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 God, I want harvest. I want revival. I want blessing. I speak to this ground and I say, oh, multiply you plants. Multiply. You can drive off all the critters, but you don't have no water on that ground. You ain't getting nothing. This is what we do. We keep living our life like that. We keep wanting God to do this and move and do this. And we think one day we get that white horse syndrome. He's going to ride in and just change everything. But if there's no water gets up in your ground, all the earth operates by water. Every living thing must have water. The steak on your plate, the medium rare steak on your plate, that cow had to drink water. Every fruit that you have. Genesis 1, let's look at the role of the Holy Spirit with the water here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters. Where was the Holy Spirit? Brooding. Brooding over the waters. Who was the water? Christ, you, when you get this, I saw something last night when I was praying. See, everything was water first, and then the entire earth come up out of the water. See, Christ was the creator. He brought all of that earth up out of himself. He brought the earth up out of the water. The Holy Spirit was on the water, manifesting, waiting for the spoken word. Let there be light. As soon as he hears the spoken word, he starts the manifestation process. As soon as you get light, your water will start flowing. See, the darkness was on the face of the deep, but when light come in, you see the water. You got to see the water. Let there be light. I'll just exhort this one. When the children of Israel were walking through the Red Sea, the cloud was in front of them. The Holy Ghost was the cloud. Now what happened is they walked through the sea, the cloud went over them. Because in fact, 1 Corinthians 10 says they were baptized in the cloud and the sea. The cloud went over the water and moved onto their hinder side and stood between them and Pharaoh's army. So you have the cloud, the Holy Spirit, the Red Sea, the water, see. In Genesis, you see the Holy Spirit brooding on the face of the waters. He is always brooding on the face of the living water. That's where he is, because his assignment is to manifest the living water. I like this one. In Moses, during the ark, the waters were on the face of the earth. But when the waters receded, what did Moses let out of the door? The dove. The dove went out and came back. It said the hand grabbed the dove and pulled him back in because he had not found the land yet. They sent him back out. Again, the Holy Spirit, what's he looking for? He's looking for the olive branch. He's looking for the fruit that comes up out of the water. What's the first thing, the very first sign of life out of that water? What was it? The olive branch. The dove will go find what Christ is doing next out of the water. He will go find it. The Holy Ghost. I want you to see this with your eyes. Just go there for a minute because we're about done here. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8 verse 6. It came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark that he made. He sent forth a raven. Then look at verse 8. He said he sent forth a dove. Now, the waters had covered the earth. Did you see the water and the dove? The waters and the Holy Spirit. He sends him out. He comes back. He found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So she went and brooded over the water. She was flying. She came back into the ark. Then he put forth his hand, verse 9, and took her and pulled her into the ark. Oh, verse 10, he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove, now what's the dove looking for? What did I tell you? Everything that God's going to do, he's going to bring it out of the water. If he's going to do something new, he's going to bring it out of the water. What's the dove looking for? The new thing. The Holy Spirit's there to manifest. What's the very first thing he finds? The very first line of life. I love it. The dove comes back, verse 11, to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. And Noah knew the waters had abated. Found the signs of the new thing, the olive tree, Christ. Bringing that which is new, the very first sign of life. That's what the Holy Ghost is looking for. And finally, the baptism of Jesus. What happened? He was sent out of Nazareth to the baptismal waters of John. And he said, listen, John, I have a brand new kingdom coming out of these waters. Just as the whole world came out of the waters in the beginning, I'm bringing a brand new kingdom. You better put me under. Because I got to go into these waters of baptism. Everything that's old is going to die in these waters today. And everything's new is going to come up out of these waters. And when he went into the waters, he buried everything that was old. And when he come up out of that water, he was carrying a brand new kingdom. Now get this. In Genesis, the earth come up out of the water. And every living thing came up out of the water. When Christ comes out of the water, every living thing in a brand new kingdom emerges up out of the water. And when it does, guess who's right there brooding over the water? The Holy Ghost. Right there, he descends immediately upon the new thing because it come up out of the water. We are going into the waters, and we are coming out of the waters. And the Holy Ghost is there in the operation of the living waters, and there is something brand new coming to the body of Christ, because he's taking his bride into the waters. He'll bring her out to the waters. The old things are passing away. A brand new day is on its way. We come out of the waters. There the Holy Ghost, he descends. And he commissions the brand new thing. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.